The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, many experts believe that Ireland is sleepwalking into a food security crisis and that the world's food system is as fragile as the banking system was in 2008. Environmental campaigner and columnist with The Guardian, George Monbiot, joins me now. Hello, George.
Hi, Claire.
Thanks very much for being with us. Coincidentally, Mick Kelly, who founded Grow It Yourself in Ireland, has written a big piece in the Irish Times, which I know you've had a look at this morning.
Yeah.
And he makes the point that when it comes to food security, the Global Food Security Index, Ireland is really close to the top there. We're doing really well. But when you look at it a little bit closer, a lot of the food we're producing is beef and dairy, and we're making it to send away. So what we have here and what we're making here would actually make you think twice about how secure our food system really is, right?
Yeah, well, Mick makes some very good points in the article, and he's completely right. Our food system is not being designed to secure food for us. It's not being designed to ensure we get a good, balanced and affordable diet. It's designed for some people to make profits off it. And, you know, governments say, and it's the same with my government here in the UK, all over the world, they say, well, we'll leave it to the market to work this out. And when they say the market, you know, it's this convenient abstraction, this thing, the market, you might think of a sort of little street market with stripy awnings, right? But, you know, the market means a few big global corporations. Mm-hmm. And there's very few of them now really control almost the whole food system. And they couldn't give a damn about whether you and I are properly fed. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about their profits and their share prices. And they are not the people who are going to ensure that we continue to get to eat and that we can get to eat the food we want.
Yeah, I think, you know, it becomes easier to understand if any of us think about going to the supermarket to buy our green vegetables, which we know we can grow very successfully in Ireland. And we see that they are being brought from all over the world onto the shop shelf. And the reason for that is it's just not economically viable, we are told, to grow those things in our own country now, in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, it really is madness. And it's, you know, it's not that food localism is the answer to everything. You know, food nationalism and food security aren't the same thing because, you know, being able to buy from elsewhere does smooth things out if you have a bad harvest at home. But having no local production or almost no local production is total madness. And I think there is an answer, which is to say, fruit and vegetables, and you could say home-produced fruit and vegetables, should be subsidised at the point of sale. Now, we have a massive agricultural subsidy system. It costs us billions and billions of euros, but it doesn't deliver any good at all for us. Mostly it causes environmental destruction. It fattens the profits of the rich guys while giving nothing to the poor ones. And you could repurpose this subsidy system to ensure both that farmers stay in business and that we're properly fed. And one of the very simple things you can do is to say, right, we will subsidise homegrown veg at the point of sale. So when you go to the supermarket or to your local shop and you buy vegetables, you might pay, say, 50% of what you would otherwise have paid. But the full price is still paid to the grower. And that would massively encourage people to eat more fruit and veg because, let's face it, we desperately need to do that. We don't eat nearly enough of it, and as a result, our health suffers. But at the same time, it would ensure that you create and nurture a market for the fruit and veg growers who, as Mick points out in his article, are disappearing at the rate of knots.
Yeah, and that's the other problem, isn't it? That once you lose that intergenerational knowledge around how to grow vegetables and fruit, you can't really replace that chain very easily. So once it's broken, it may be broken for a long time, even if you introduce the subsidies that you talk about.
Yeah, this is a skilled business. And, you know, I know this as an amateur veg and fruit grower that, you know, I have so many disasters that every year I think, thank goodness I don't have to make my living this way. It's really difficult because you're constantly faced by changing environmental conditions. You know, everything's a bit haywire now with climate breakdown. You've got your caterpillars, you've got your slugs, you've got your aphids, you've, you know, so many things can go wrong. And it's knowing how to navigate that is a really skilled job. Now, the hopeful thing is that there are loads and loads of young people who would desperately like to get into growing. I'm constantly coming across people who, you know, they don't really have a way in, but they're so keen to become fruit and veg growers. And yet, you know, the market isn't there. It's a great way to lose all your investments because it's just very, very hard to compete at the moment. So we need government to step in and say, let's help these young people get a foothold. Let's help the existing players to stay in business. That's really important. But also bring in new players, bring in people who are prepared to acquire those very difficult skills. But we've got to nurture this. You leave it to this thing called a market. The market, it will eat you alive. The market is not a market in the way that we understand markets. The market is a small group of extremely rich, predatory corporations and oligarchs who will have the shirt off our backs.
So how has what's been happening in Iran and the wider Middle East affected all of this when it comes to our food security? Because we know here in Ireland we import the grain that we use for bread, we import most of the fertilizer that we use in agriculture. So they're very apparent impacts. Where else does it take us?
Yeah, so it's very dangerous both in the short term and in the long term. So, you know, the fertilizer crisis is admittedly hitting other countries much harder than ours, than Ireland or the UK. Africa is being absolutely hammered by it because many African countries are totally dependent on those imports of fertilizer from the Gulf and don't have other sources to draw on. Also, you know, the farmers in a very parlous state in poorer countries can easily be driven over the brink by higher prices for fertilizer and for diesel and other supplies they need to farm. Even so, it's having an effect on farmers here as well, and it will have an effect on food prices. But much more dangerous even than that is what it could do to the global food system as a whole. And this system is on a knife edge. It is, as you said in your introduction, much like the financial system in the run-up to 2008, and for all the same reasons. Too few players have got too big to fail. They're all pursuing the same corporate strategies. They've cut their operations to the bone. It's just-in-time delivery. It's all heavily financialized. All of this is a recipe for catastrophic failure, for collapse. And you know, when you look at the papers which have studied why the financial system went down, or very nearly went down, it needed bailout amounting to trillions to stop it going down. All of those factors now apply to the global food system. It's really dangerous. And there is a fundamental difference between the financial system and the food system is that when the financial system nearly went down, governments were able to bail it out by issuing future money in the form of quantitative easing. Well, you can't bail out the food system by issuing future food.
So what happens then? We run out of supplies?
Well, so what could happen? And, you know, we don't, when a system has lost its resilience, we don't know what the event which could tip it over the edge might be. You know, it could be something going on in the Gulf. It could be this fertilizer supply shock, or indeed the oil supply shock. It could be something else completely. I mean, no one predicted that the subprime mortgage crisis would be the event which tipped the financial system. I mean, that is tiny by comparison to the size of the financial system. But, you know, this is what happens when a system is prone to collapse. A small knock can tip the whole thing over. And if that does happen, I mean, it's just unthinkable. It's very hard to get your head around the scale of what that would mean, because it would suddenly mean the global supply chains breaking. it's not that food would disappear, but the food would be stuck in the fields or in the silos or in the container ports, and it wouldn't be reaching people. So, for instance, if one of the big corporations goes down, and, you know, on one estimate, four corporations control 90% of global grain trade, one of those goes down, triggers a domino effect in that market, which is pretty well what happened with the banks, then poof, that whole supply chain has just disappeared. So there might still be being food being produced, but it can't get to the people who need that food. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we're in a situation where rich people will get to eat and poor people won't.
Is that what it's going to take, though, for these global food systems to change?
We can't leave it till then. I mean, if we sit around and wait for collapse, there might be no coming back from that, because it has a whole series of ripple effects, which then basically the whole structure becomes financially inviable. The farmers go bankrupt because they can't sell the produce. The traders go bankrupt because they can't shift the produce. The shelves clear, there are riots, people starve. You know, there could be no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. It could be a sort of civilizational endpoint.
I take that point, but I don't see how else we affect change. You know, I mean, you've been talking about this for a very long time. I mean, people know that it's wrong that they go into the supermarket and they can't get cabbage, Irish cabbage in some cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an extreme example. We do have good Irish cabbage, but, you know, other green stuff that's very easy to grow here. And still nothing happens to change the model.
I know. Well, this is why we desperately need protest movements, and we desperately need people to mobilize. And, you know, we need to get the politicians by the lapels and say, you've got to deal with this, and you've got to deal with it now. And, you know, the fundamental problem is that they listen to the very rich and they don't listen to the rest. You know, it's the billionaires, it's the oligarchs, it's the corporations that they're listening to. We have to grab their attention back to the needs of the majority. It's the billions versus the billionaires. And we are the billions. You know, we massively outnumber them, yet somehow they're the ones who come to dominate our political systems. That's not going to change unless we get politically active, unless we mobilize, unless we demand that political parties meet our needs. And if they don't, we switch our allegiance to the political parties that will. It's the only thing that works. It's not easy and it's not quick, but you've just got to mobilise, mobilise and mobilise.
George, great to talk to you as always. We will chat again. That's George Monbiot, columnist with The Guardian. Have you any thoughts on what George has had to say? Do you believe that we might be heading for a global food shortage or shock similar to the financial shock in 2008. The WhatsApp number 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.